like those who have gone before, I also am grateful to be here with you, to be here with Elder Midland, to be with sort of one of the Lord's apostles. It's a remarkable experience, as you know, to be in the presence of a member of the 12. I'm grateful also for Elder Swadis and the chance we've had to be together on various assignments when I was serving as a celebrity in the great presence in Latin America, and when he had visited numerous times, and it's great to be with him again and be with Elder Dudley. I'm going to take just a minute, and with the license that Elder Remlin, I think, provided me with him when my father passed away this past Wednesday. It ties in with some of the things that have been said. My parents are converts to the church. They joined the church in Los Angeles, California, after they were married as a young married couple. They were missionaries, and so we're talking about the keys that Moses delivered again, the keys of missionary work. But a week after my parents joined the church, my father stopped attending. He was not less active, he was inactive in the church. And he was brought back after over 10 years because of faithful ministry by home and visiting teachers, members of the ward, that continued to visit my family. Even while my mother attended with young children, my father did not. It was due to the ministering efforts of a ward that brought my father back. In 1964, 13 years after my parents were married, we were sealed in the temple. I was 5 years old in Los Angeles. Because of that, my parents are back together again. We're not sad. It's tears of joy with my brothers and I, as knowing my parents are back together again. My mother passed away 8 years ago, and my parents were faithful and true from the time they went back to the temple and served faithfully because of the keys of missionary work and retention. Brethren, it works. And there are people like that in our wards and states all over. They just need to be invited, as Elder Remlin has spoken. They need to be invited to act. And as they do, faith will build, and they will return. Not everyone's going to return at the same time. Not everyone's going to respond in the same way. But there are many who will. And so, as I mentioned that, and I'm grateful for a father who accepted the gospel and came back as an example for me. Well, today you probably noticed that we're speaking about four divinely appointed responsibilities. One of them, which is near and dear to the heart, well, all of them are near and dear to the heart of the presiding bishop, but perhaps one even a little bit more, and that is caring for the poor and needy. In Matthew and in Luke, we read a Savior's response, well, Matthew's response to a specific response to a lawyer is attempting to tempt him when he asks him what's the greatest commandment. And the Savior then teaches, as you know, that there are the two great commandments. The first is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto him, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, in Luke, he continues on, and the man asks, well, who's my neighbor? And you're aware, you remember, the Savior then taught. He taught the parable of the Good Samaritan. He taught that everyone is our neighbor. In that remarkable parable that is beloved by all the Christian world. But the Savior didn't just teach it verbally. He also taught it by what he did. And I'd like to read it in Luke chapter 7. I think this is a fascinating example of the Savior teaching by what he did, teaching by his example, not just by what he said. In Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 19, it says, and John called unto him, so we're speaking of John the Baptist now, and John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look before another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now the next two verses are interesting. They ask the Savior a specific question. Basically, are you the Messiah? And the response was not the Savior turning to passages in Isaiah that refer to the Messiah. The Savior's response to his divinity as the Son of God and as the Messiah are about what he did. And what he did is this. And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and of plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, what they seen and heard him do as he cared for the poor and needy. how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. President Nelson has said, Scriptures teach us that the poor, especially widows, orphans, and strangers, have long been the concern of God and of the godly. The Savior taught it by what he said, and he taught it by how he lived. Now, brethren, we have a responsibility to care for the poor and the needy. In the Handbook of Instructions, in modern days, we read it again. Section 52, we could read it. But going to chapter 6 of Handbook 2, there's something I think that's interesting here. First of all, it's chapter 6, 2, it's 6.1.2. So Handbook 2 is 6.1.2. And it says, the Lord has, through his church, the Lord has provided a way to care for the poor and needy. He has asked church members to give generously according to what they receive from him. He has also asked his people to visit the poor and the needy and administer to their relief. And so he then continues how we're asked for encouraged to give passionate, personal compassionate service to those in need. They should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, serving without being asked or assigned. And then I read something that I had read before. But have you ever read, like I know you have, it's happened to me too. You've read something, you know you've read it before because you have it underlined, but it's as if you're reading it for the first time. You see things you haven't seen before. Well, I saw something here in the next paragraph that I haven't seen before. I think it's interesting. Now, maybe you've seen it. It says, the Lord has established the law of the fast and fast offerings to bless his people. Now, if you stop there, you think, well, of course, there are those that are in need, that need to be the beneficiaries of the fast offerings that are being donated. But that's not who he's referring to. Because then it continues, to bless his people and to provide a way for them, his people, to serve those in need. The people he's referring to aren't the ones in need. The people he's referring to are the ones that will bless those in need. The Lord has established the law of the fast to bless us as we then bless others. Now, in just a few minutes, there's no possible way we can discuss at length and really do justice to how we care for the poor and needy and how to minister. And so I'm just going to take the next few minutes and refer to just one way we can do that. There are many, and you need to go and listen to the promptings, the impressions of the Spirit that you all have, and study this in your wards and stakes and branches and decide how best to implement it. But one way specifically that we can bless the poor and the needy and his people is through the law of the fast. Now, Brigham Young taught that the Lord made no distinction between the spiritual and the temporal. In the Doctrine and Covenants, we read that the Lord has given no temporal blessings, that all things are spiritual to him. And the law of the fast is a fantastic description and an example of how the Lord combines the spiritual and the temporal. Now, as you know, the law of the fast has two components. We have the fasting, and then there's the offering, the spiritual and the temporal combined. And there are blessings that are associated with both. And so I'd like to look at those real briefly. If we turn to Alma chapter 17, we see an example of the blessings of the fast. In Alma 17, you're familiar with this. This is when the sons of Mosiah and Alma are returning from their mission and they run into each other again. And in verse 3 of chapter 17, it says, but this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. And so now we're going to read the blessings that are associated, some of the blessings associated with fasting. Therefore, because of the prayer and fasting, they have the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority of God. Significant blessings that are associated with the law of the fast. Now turn to Helaman chapter 3, brethren. In Helaman chapter 3, verse 35, again speaking about fasting, it says, nevertheless, they did fast and pray often. You'll notice that fasting and prayer are often associated. I'm just going to read this real quick, but I have this. For Elder Wortham said, without prayer, fasting is not complete fasting. It's simply going hungry. And so you can fast, and fasting is just starvation, according to Elder Wortham. But fasting and prayer combined, the two combined, are powerful. So as it says, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ. Now, when we think about the four divinely appointed responsibilities that we're discussing, every one of them, including caring for the poor and needy, serve to increase our faith in Jesus Christ. They're all connected, as Ellen Rindland taught. Fasting is part of the law of fast, one component, and there are great blessings associated with fasting. As we read, the Lord has established that law to bless his people. Those that are fasting, those that are praying, as our faith is increased, as we receive a greater portion of the Spirit. The second component, the offering, the temporal side, also has great blessings associated. Now, Elder Rindland referred to Mosiah chapter 4, verse 26. And so if we turn back to that, we're referring to the offering, and again, great blessings that are associated. And there are a couple of blessings. There are some spiritual blessings associated with the offering. And we read that here in verse 26, because it says, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins, which we can all use, from day to day, that ye may walk guiltless before God, I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and ministering to their relief. Again, this is all part of caring for the poor and needy. It's not just the offering, it's also the visiting that we're reaching out to, it's ministering as well, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. Great blessings associated with the offering. And perhaps there are many, but we're going to turn to Isaiah, because in my mind, this is one of the preeminent passages that actually combines the offering with the fast, but we're just going to focus on the offering now. In verse 7, speaking of the fast, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And then turn to verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, the offering, we're assisting them, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Tremendous temporal blessings, as well as spiritual blessings, that are associated with the law of the fast. Now, rather just a quick experience, and then in closing. When I was serving as a bishop, and sitting where you are, I remember the first year that we held tithing settlement. It's a wonderful time, as you know, it's a wonderful time of year to sit down with members of the church and see their faithfulness and devotion. It's just remarkable to see their faithfulness. But I noticed something. Oftentimes, members of the church, faithful, devoted, and successful, after they had said yes for full tithe payers, they would often ask, and Bishop, how much would you like for fast offering? They were being generous. And it was a blessing, and it blessed the members of the board and the state and the church. But I learned something, I realized something there, that the offering is too often an afterthought for members of the church. They don't always understand the relationship between the fast each month and the offering and how they work together. We talked about keys a little bit and the importance of keys. Well, maybe we haven't. I like talking about keys. I guess it's on my mind, but we think about the keys that are here on the stand and how keys that are united, a state president's missionary keys and a mission president's keys to the work of the missionaries, how they work together and make things happen. Well, the law of the fast works the same way. You have the fast and you have the offering. And too often, again, it's an afterthought. And because it's an afterthought, there are members of the church who are faithful, good men and women who forfeit blessings that would otherwise be theirs. And brethren, our responsibility, as we read in Jacob chapter 1, verse 19, remember he teaches how if we don't teach, then the sin will be upon our heads. We have the responsibility to teach the members of the church the law of the fast, the entire law of the fast, so that they can receive the blessings that are associated that they need so desperately, but they cannot receive if they do not live that law. President Kimball said, rich promises are made by the Lord to those who fast and assist the needy, the two combined. Inspiration and spiritual guidance will come with righteousness and closeness to our Heavenly Father. To omit to do this righteous act of fasting and the offering would deprive us of these blessings. I know you don't want to be deprived of these blessings. I know you don't want the members of your congregations over whom you have stewardship to be deprived of these blessings. Therefore, brethren, I invite you to teach it, to live it, to teach it, as the Savior lived it, as the Savior taught it. This is a law from the Lord. It is a commandment to care for the poor and needy. And one way we can do it is by living more faithfully the law of the fast. And of this I bear my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.